Run the numbers on a modern jetliner and you find something almost embarrassing. The tube in the middle, the part where all the people sit, produces almost no lift. It just hangs there in the airstream, making drag while the wings do all the work of holding the thing up. We have flown that compromise for 70 years, and we got so good at it we stopped noticing it was a compromise. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about an airplane that refuses to accept that compromise. An airplane that takes the fuselage and the wing and melts them into a single lifting shape. It's called the blended wing body, and a company named Jet Zero is trying to build a full-size one and fly it inside the next couple of years. Let's break this down before we get into the shape. A quick word from the people helping keep this segment in the air. This one is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot instrument rated CFI the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. If there's a moment in your flying life worth holding onto, they make the coin for it. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's start with the shape, because the shape is the whole story. Picture a manta ray. Not a tube with wings bolted on, but one continuous surface that gets thicker toward the middle and thinner toward the tips. The center section, the part that would be the fuselage on a conventional jet, is wide and flattened and deep enough to hold passengers and cargo. And critically, that center section is generating lift, right along with the outer wing. That's the blended wing body. Engineers shorten it to BWB. The whole aircraft is essentially one big wing. Now, here's why an engineer gets excited about that. Lift is useful. Drag is the tax you pay to get it. On a conventional airliner, that big cylindrical fuselage is almost pure tax. It's carrying the payload, sure. But aerodynamically, it's mostly just a source of skin friction and pressure drag with very little lift to show for it. When you blend the body into the wing, you turn the tax collector into an earner. The fuselage starts pulling its weight. Literally, you also get rid of a lot of wetted area. That's the total surface exposed to the airflow. Because you're not wrapping a separate tube and a separate wing and a separate tail all in their own skins. One smooth shape has less surface than three stuck together. The data tells an interesting story here. Jet Zero and the researchers who've studied this configuration are targeting something on the order of a 50% reduction in fuel burn compared to today's airliners of similar size. Let me say that again, because in aviation, that number is staggering, half the fuel. Now, part of that comes from the shape. Part of it comes from newer, more efficient engines mounted on top of the aircraft. But a big chunk of it comes purely from the aerodynamics of not dragging a dead weight tube through the sky. Here's what most people miss, though. This is not a new idea. Not even close. The theory goes back to the 1940s. A Northrop engineer named Jack Northrop was obsessed with the flying wing. He built the N-9M. He built the giant YB-35 and the jet-powered YB-49 bombers back in the late 1940s. Beautiful, clean flying wings with no tail and no fuselage to speak of. And they had a problem. They wanted to wander. Without a tail sticking out back there for stability, they were a handful to fly, and the technology of the era couldn't tame them. The program died. Then computers grew up. The B-2 Spirit. The stealth bomber that first flew in 1989 is a flying wing that works because it has flight computers making tiny corrections hundreds of times a second, doing the stabilizing that a tail used to do. Fly-by-wire made the flying wing practical. And in the 1990s and 2000s, NASA and Boeing took the next step. They built and flew a remote-controlled model called the X-48, an 8.5% scale blended wing body with a wingspan around 21 feet. And they flew it something like 120 times out at Edwards. They wanted to know, does this configuration actually behave? Can you control it at low speed, at high angles of attack, on approach? The answer that came back was yes. The aerodynamics check out. The efficiency is real. So if the idea is 80 years old and the wind tunnel data has been good for two decades, why are we still flying tubes? That's the honest part of this story. And I promised you honest. The first problem is the passenger cabin, and specifically, the shape of it. A conventional fuselage is a cylinder for a very good reason. When you pressurize a tube, the pressure loads distribute evenly as tension all the way around the circle. A cylinder is nature's pressure vessel. Think of a soda can, think of a scuba tank. They're round because round handles internal pressure beautifully. A blended wing body cabin is not round. It's wide and flat, more like a room than a tube. And a flat pressurized surface wants to bulge. It wants to become round whether you like it or not. So now your structure has to fight that bending. And fighting bending means extra structure. And extra structure means weight. And weight eats into the efficiency you were trying to gain. Solving that, building a wide, flat, non-cylindrical cabin that's light enough and strong enough to pressurize thousands of times over a service life, is one of the central engineering challenges. It's a materials problem and a structures problem as much as an aerodynamics problem, and it's a big reason the concept sat on the shelf. Modern composites, carbon fiber that you can lay up into complex load-bearing shapes, are a large part of why people think it's solvable now when it wasn't before. The second problem is the passengers themselves. Where do you put them? On a narrow tube, everybody is within a couple of seats of a window and roughly on the center line of the aircraft. On a wide, blended wing body, you've got a cabin that spreads out sideways. A lot of those seats have no window anywhere near them. And here's a subtle one that the engineers worry about. When the airplane rolls into a bank, the folks sitting way out from the center line get swung up and down like they're on the end of a seesaw. A gentle 30-degree bank that you'd never notice in a window seat on a 737 could feel like a carnival ride if you're seated 15 or 20 feet off the aircraft's roll axis. That's a comfort problem, and comfort sells tickets, so it's not a small thing. Then there's evacuation. The rules say you have to get everybody off a burning airplane in 90 seconds with half the exits blocked on a long tube. The aisles are simple and everybody flows toward the nearest door. In a wide room with people spread across the width, the paths to the exits are more complicated. You have to prove you can still empty it in 90 seconds. That's a certification hurdle, and it's a real one. And that word, certification, is the fourth challenge and honestly the biggest one of all. We have 70 years of accumulated knowledge about how to certify a tube and wing airliner. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has a deep rule book and deep instinct for that shape. A blended wing body is a genuinely new configuration for carrying passengers. New loads, new failure modes, new questions about how it handles when things go wrong. Certifying a clean sheet airliner of any shape takes years and costs billions. Certifying one that doesn't look like anything the rulebook was written for takes longer. So that's the honest ledger. On one side, roughly half the fuel, less drag, more usable internal volume, quieter because the engines sit up on top with the whole airframe shielding their noise from the ground. On the other side, a hard cabin structures problem, passenger comfort questions, evacuation, and a long, expensive certification road. Now, let's talk about who's actually trying to walk that road. Because talk is cheap, and this is where JetZero comes in. JetZero is a California company. And the smart thing they did was not to start by promising you a 300-passenger airliner tomorrow. They started with a demonstrator, a full-scale one. In August of 2023, the United States Air Force put real money behind it, a contract valued at up to $235 million, to build and fly a full-scale blended-wing body demonstrator. The Air Force cares because the shape isn't just good for airlines. A blended wing body with that kind of fuel efficiency and internal volume would make a tremendous aerial refueling tanker or a cargo hauler. More gas, more range, more time on station. So the military money and the commercial dream are pushing the same airplane down the runway. The demonstrator is being built to fly at full size, and the stated goal has been to get it into the air in the 2027 timeframe. They brought in serious help. Northrop Grumman, the direct descendant of Jack Northrop's Flying Wing Company, the people who build the B-2 and the new B-21, came aboard to help with the airframe. There's a certain poetry in that. The company Jack Northrop founded, chasing the flying wing he never got to finish, helping build the blended wing body 80 years later. Scaled Composites, the Mojave shop, famous for building radical airplanes fast, has been part of it too. And on the airline side, JetZero has drawn interest and conditional commitments from carriers who would very much like an airplane that burns half the fuel. Because fuel is the single biggest cost an airline fights every day. So here's my honest read on the timeline, and you know I'm going to give it to you straight. A full-scale demonstrator flying in the next couple of years? That is ambitious, but it is a real funded program with real metal being built, not a slide deck. I take it seriously. A blended wing body carrying paying passengers on your next vacation? That is much further out. Realistically, we're talking the mid-2030s at the earliest for a certified commercial airliner. And that's if the money holds, the structures problem gets solved cleanly, and the certification path doesn't throw a surprise. History is littered with beautiful, efficient airplanes that were engineered right and still never made it, because the business ran out of runway before the airplane found one. The demonstrator is the thing to watch. If it flies and flies well and proves the handling and the efficiency in the real air instead of the wind tunnel, that changes the conversation. It turns 80 years of theory into a data point you can't argue with. Here's the bigger idea I want to leave you with. We have spent decades wringing single-digit efficiency gains out of the tube and wing airplane. A better winglet here, a percent or two from a new engine there. Genuinely brilliant work, and it's kept aviation improving. But it's incremental. You're polishing a shape that was basically settled in the 1950s. The blended wing body is the other kind of engineering. It's stepping back and asking whether the shape itself is the thing holding you back. And the answer the data keeps giving is, maybe it is. That's the swing worth taking, and it's the swing Jet Zero is taking. Whether they connect or not, I don't know. Nobody does. But I would rather live in a decade where somebody is finally building the full-size airplane than one where we all agree the tube is as good as it gets. Because it isn't. The numbers were telling us that in the 1940s, we just needed the computers, the composites, and the nerve to catch up. My thanks to NASA and Boeing for the X-48 flight research that made the case, to the Air Force and Jet Zero for putting the demonstrator on contract, and to the reporting from the aviation press that's been tracking the program. You can find more of what we cover over at RadioHangar.com. Keep an eye on the sky over Mojave. If a manta ray comes over the horizon, you'll know the future got a little closer. I'm Vector. Fly smart.